The point here is that the Savior of the world needs to be revealed by God. We don't just stumble on him by accident. God reveals the Son to us. And Jesus praised him because God has revealed the mystery of his Son that was kept hidden for generations. And isn't it interesting? He revealed it not to those who think they're smarter, or those who are more worthy, or those who've accomplished more, or those who seem to be better people, whoever they are. No, he says he chose to reveal it to the little children. Not meaning literally, not just literally children. He does reveal it to children, but he reveals it to those who willingly come to him like a little child will come to a loving parent. Little children are the ones who know that their parent, their Father in heaven, has something. They want to be there. They want to be close to him. And they're not too proud to say, yes, I need God in my life. Well, we'll leave the mystery of God's choices where they belong, with him. This is the mystery of his perfect and loving plan. But let's move to our response to his grace and his love. Let's move to our response to the great invitation that Jesus gives here in Matthew 11. Starting in verse 28, we have three action words, and these three action words point to the great invitation. And imagine for a second that these three words are written on a nice piece of cardstock that you receive in the mail. Or maybe if you're a completely digital person, maybe it's a text you get on your phone, it doesn't matter. But these words are sent to you directly this morning from Matthew 11. Here's the first word. The first word is come. Come. Now, if you want to follow along this morning, this is found on page 1389 in that Pew Bible in front of you, 1389, Matthew 11, the end of the passage. But starting in verse 28, we have these action words, and the first one is come. And Jesus said specifically, come to me. And this is important because he didn't just say, you know, come along with me for a while, and you're going to learn some amazing things, but at some point, you'll have learned enough from me, and then you'll have to go find a different teacher to take you to the next level. He didn't say, come and find health or find wealth. He said, come to me. This is a specific invitation to go to him for something that nobody else can give. And the assumption here is that Jesus has something to give that belongs to him, and something he wants to give to other people if they just accept the invitation. And the invitation here is given to anyone who's weary and burdened. What's that? That depends. Only you can answer that question. What is it that makes you weary and burdened, that gets in the way of a relationship with God? Something that's dragging you down? There are lots of things in our lives that make us feel exhausted or overwhelmed. Has that ever been you? One of my neighbors describes it this way. She said, I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. I just don't have the bandwidth to take on anything else. In other words, I'm tired, I'm stressed, and I can't do one more thing or add one more thing to my life. I don't even want to think about that thing. So only you know what brings you to the point where you feel like that, weary and burdened, looking for answers. And in this passage, excuse me, in this passage here in Matthew 11, Jesus is talking specifically to people who were worn out in a certain way. They were worn out from trying to please God. And they were trying to please God by following religious rules, and the rules were killing them. Now, back at the end of chapter 9, we meet some of these people. Matthew describes them as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They're wandering, they're lost, they're looking for help. And Matthew tells us that Jesus saw them, and remember this from a couple of weeks ago, how did he react? He had compassion on them. He loved them because they were harassed and helpless. They were trying to grow in their relationship with God, but they were carrying the wrong burden. They were carrying a burden that actually wasn't theirs to carry. They were carrying the burden that their religious leaders told them to carry. And we meet these leaders all through Matthew's gospel. They criticize Jesus, they mock him, they judge him, they attack him, they plan how to kill him. They refuse to humble themselves like these little children. They refuse to come to Jesus, and they end up being the wise ones that God hides himself from because they're not willing to humble themselves. Now, these religious leaders aren't just found in the Gospels. We have them today, even in the Christian church. And many of them wear robes like this. And if you think I'm one of them, call the bishop right away. Please do. But religious leaders who do things like that, instead of inviting people to come to Christ the Good Shepherd, they usually tell people to do things, earn God's blessing. It may not come out that plainly, but that's what's behind it. They give the impression that if you have an impure thought or a major stumbling block in your life, then God's angry with you and he's waiting to judge. It's sad but true. There are many Christians, sadly, and some Christian preachers who think that God cancels people at the first sign of trouble or weakness. God does not cancel you. He calls you. He invites you. So Jesus gives the invitation to come to him. Come to him first. Come to him only. This is an exclusive invitation sent to you, meant to turn you to him. And come to him for what? Well, for the gifts he describes in John's Gospel, chapter 10, where he says, I have come that they may have life, but not just life, life to the full. Life to the full, running over in abundance. Well, if you're tired out from trying to find your purpose, if you're feeling weary and burdened from trying to find your best life now, accept this invitation. If you're exhausted from carrying man-made religion, come to this Savior. This is the one who invites you to himself. He doesn't invite you to be religious. He invites you into a relationship. So come. The second word is take. The word take. Now, this sounds a bit counterintuitive at first because it involves being tied or connected deeply to another person. And I hope I'm not offending you, but I'm about to compare you to cattle. I'm sorry about that, but here it is in Matthew 11. Jesus said this. He invites you to come and take his yoke and be an ox. Well, Jesus uses the image here of a younger ox being yoked to an older ox. The younger one learns as they walk alongside the seasoned veteran. They learn from this older ox. And the image here of a yoke, this is the image of being a student, a learner, a disciple. You're literally coming under the teaching of your teacher. And notice that with the yoke, how do you walk? You walk side by side. This is important. Jesus is leading, but he's walking beside you. Remember the famous image in Psalm 23, if you know that. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, yoked to me. The yoke tells us that God sent his only son to live among his people and walk with his people side by side. Jesus didn't just pretend to come here and to live in this world. He chose to connect himself deeply at the deepest level, being yoked with the person, side by side. And the amazing thing is he really wants to be yoked to anyone who will accept the invitation, to anyone who responds to this, come to me, the weary and burdened. He gladly invites you to walk with him. He says later in verse 29 that he's gentle and humble. And that's important too, because it means we can trust him. Because when you yoke yourself to someone, you need to know that you're going to trust the person, don't you? It's like a marriage vow. When you take your marriage vow, you trust that you're yoking yourself to someone you love, someone who loves you, someone you can trust. So with this image here in Matthew, we shouldn't worry that we're choosing a life of powerlessness or being controlled by God. We're not being controlled. We're accepting an invitation. The invitation is to walk with him, not to be controlled, but to learn, to follow him as our guide and teacher. This is really a partnership of love. And through Scripture, the imagery of a wedding is common because that's what it's like. It's a marriage bond. We're putting our head into the yoke next to him, and we're coming under his gentle and humble leadership. One old writer from hundreds of years ago said this about this passage. He said, "Nor need we fear this yoke. It is a yoke that is lined with love." A yoke that's lined with love. That's important because we think of a wooden yoke as being very uncomfortable. But this is lined with love. Now, if you're a person who doesn't like to give up control in your life, or maybe you fear giving control to someone because they'll take advantage of you, remember that this is God himself making the offer. This isn't an offer to tie yourself to a flawed human teacher or a charismatic leader. This is an invitation to anyone who wants life to the full, given by God himself. So this is the offer to bind yourself to Christ and to stay connected at the deepest level, which is the level of your feelings, your thoughts, and your soul. And the yoke is offered to anyone who wants to come and get close to Jesus and stay yoked forever. So come, take, and now the final word is learn, the word learn. Now, if you're a longtime Anglican, this is where you get really happy with this sermon, because now we're not talking about feelings and emotions anymore. We can be safe and talk about the things we think about. I'm just using an old caricature, but anyway, there it is. But the word learn. But even with the word learn, we're talking about all of ourselves. When the Bible talks about the word heart, it doesn't mean just feelings. It actually means your feelings, your thoughts, and your willingness to choose. So when we come under the teaching of Jesus, when we learn from him, actually what we learn is transformative. It's transformative teaching. Some of the most powerful teaching is found earlier in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, 5-7. This section goes deep, and it changes how we think about Jesus, how we think about the people around us, how we think about God. And through this teaching, we have our understanding recalibrated. We learn who God is and then who we are in relationship to him. We learn how to relate to God, how he relates to us, and how we then reach out and serve other people. And we learn to serve God from a position of compassion, humility, again, like the Lord Jesus. And it's also important to know that when we learn from Jesus, we don't just learn for a while and then graduate. You know, this isn't like going through grade school and you get to grade 12 and you graduate and maybe go on to post-secondary. This learning never ends. This is like grade school for life. What you learn in grade 4 is meant to carry on to grade 5 and then after. But the learning Jesus talks about here in verse 29 is gradual. It's ongoing, and it's meant to continue as long as you draw breath. And sometimes the learning comes fast, and it's easy. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's painful. But the learning is always going forward because, again, you're yoked with Jesus, and the ox are always moving forward. The learning is always going forward, walking with him each day, learning more from him each day. And that's how we learn, isn't it? Hopefully when you leave here today, you've learned something new about Matthew 11, and now you go to put it into practice. And hopefully tomorrow you'll learn something more, and then the day after. This is how we learn. We learn about his plan for us, for other people, for his church. We learn what his mission is. We learn how God's heart is full of compassion for the harassed and helpless. He carried the burden when he went to the cross. He carried the weight of sin that separates us from God, and now we follow him. And if we don't follow him, we are carrying something. It's a yoke, but the Lord calls it a yoke of slavery. It's a yoke of slavery. It's bondage. It's crushing. It's where you're trying to always better yourself, desperately trying to get better, trying to earn something from others or maybe from God, and you end up weary and burdened. But by grace here, the invitation comes, and Jesus says, come out of that slavery, come into this new life, and find life to the full. So as you grow in faith, or maybe you're here today exploring faith for the first time, I'd like you to notice one thing, one final thing. The three parts of this invitation lead to the place where Jesus promises something. And this is a promise he delivers. He calls it rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. That's that deep down rest that we know from knowing the living God. And wouldn't you like to have that every day? Every day, wouldn't you like to know that you have rest for your soul? This is the knowledge that comes from knowing you're in a right relationship with God. You experience soul rest when you know your sins are really and truly forgiven and washed away. And this is a gift of God given by grace. And because of his grace freely given, it's something offered to those who want it. That's how God works. He offers it to people, and then he also calls you to accept the invitation. So instead of laboring away under a burden, we can actually find the rest that our souls desperately crave. When we take the yoke and learn from Jesus, we experience life with him as he walks with us. And we honestly can't find this experience anywhere else or from anyone else. This is the mystery God has revealed. It was hidden in the past, but now it's been fully revealed to anyone who's hungry and thirsty. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter who you think you might be right now. It doesn't matter how worried you are about your future. It matters that you're hungry and thirsty, willing to say, I'm weary and burdened. I want this thing. I want to come and take this invitation. So will you come, take, and learn? Will you continue to come, take, and learn each day? Come to the table. Take the bread of life and learn alongside each other as we follow the Lord Jesus together. Let's pray together. And as I pray, I'm just going to read the last part of Matthew 11 again. The words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen.